Hello. I'm Jessica Eck. I work with the American Nurses Association, and I've been working on the website for the Bringing Immunity to Every Community campaign. So because you're in this session, you probably are already aware, but it's very important to have a website. Most people are on the internet, and many of those are getting health information through this vehicle. And the graph at the bottom shows the searches on immunization-related terms in Google. So this is where people are looking for information, and this is where we need to be too. However, this is just the beginning. A lot of times you'll see that a website is created, and then the project is done, and you move on to something else. However, there is a need to keep looking back and updating. Search engines favor sites that are updated. So a stagnant site will not rank as well in search engines, and then people won't be able to find this great information that you put up. And in a consumer WebWatch survey, design was the most frequently cited factor to determine a website's credibility. So having an outdated design will have a detrimental effect, and people might not trust your information as much as they should. In addition, the internet is constantly changing. So what you need today might be very different from what you need a year from now, 2 years from now, even 6 months from now. The website, the internet changes so quickly. So upkeep does take time, but it is important. Fortunately, there are tools available that can help streamline this process. And in order to take a pulse of your website and see what it's doing, how it's doing, what the next steps are, it can help to measure your web data. And this can tell you if you're accomplishing your goals, if you're able to reach and engage your audience, and if awareness is growing or stagnant, and also what about your site could be improved. I recommend Google Analytics. It is the most popular web analytics tool out there, and that's for many good reasons. It's a robust analytics program, and it's free, and it's surprisingly easy to use. You'll probably need some tech experience or the help of someone who has some tech experience to get it started, but after that, really, anyone can go in and get the information they need from this. It offers the capability to drill down quickly, to just get the data of interest to you, so it's possible to get actionable insights in a short amount of time. You can, for instance, drag and drop pieces of information to create a custom report. And then you can set up that report to be emailed to you once a month. So you don't even have to remember to go in and get it. It's sent directly to you and just what you want. In addition, you can set up an intelligence feature. So you can say, I really care if my website goes increases or decreases by 30% in a month. That's the information that I think is important. It can automatically email you if that happens. So you don't have to look for the information, but you can get it when you need it. And then if you don't have Google Analytics on your site yet, don't worry. It's not hard to set up. You will need a Google account. And if you have an account on YouTube or Gmail or Google Docs, you already have a Google account. You can use that. If you don't, you just go to Google. You can set one up using your own email address. Doesn't take long. And then from there, you can log into Google Analytics, and you can create a profile. You tell them your site URL, and then it'll give you a little snippet of code that you need to place on your site. And actually, a lot of content management systems have a place. Like, I know WordPress has a place in their optimization tab where it says, paste your Google Analytics code there. Copy, paste, you're done. That's all it takes. If you don't have that kind of system, it needs to be put in the template so that it's on every HTML page and is already there if you create a new page. What this will do is put a little piece of code called a cookie on the browser of each visitor that comes. So then you can capture their visitor data, and if they come back, they will be recognized as a return visitor. Getting the code on the site sooner rather than later is important because it starts collecting the day it's published. So the longer you've been collecting data, the easier it is to see trends. And the good thing about Google Analytics is that it keeps working, and you can come back whenever you have time to do it. So it really can take as little or as much time as you want to invest in it. And then I just wanted to give you an idea of some of the reports that you can get through Google Analytics. You can use the traffic sources feature, and you can find out what sites are bringing traffic. So if, say, the CDC is bringing a lot of traffic, you can say, great, I know that. And then maybe if there's more information that just came out about immunization, maybe you can get more traffic from them. If you notice that a keyword has a high bounce rate, because you can look at what keywords are bringing in traffic, the bounce rate means that searchers came to your site and left without seeing another page. So they might not have been seeing what they're looking for. Then you can say, okay, on that keyword, people aren't finding what they're looking for, and you can tweak the information that you're offering to better serve your visitors. Through the content, reports, you can see what pages people are coming to the site on, what pages they're leaving on, and which pages are encouraging people to move further into your website. So if you edit a page, if you edit the most important pages that people are coming in on, you might be able to increase retention. You can also see what keywords people are using in the search bar once they get to your site. So if you have a little search bar on your site, you can see the information that they're typing in. So if there's something that they're not able to find or something that they really want, you can get that information and make that more visible. And then the advanced segmentation lets you look at your data just through an audience that you specify. So you can say, okay, that's great, this is all my data, but what I'm really interested in is the traffic that's coming from hospitals or schools or just the mobile traffic, the ones that are coming from iPhones and such, or just the traffic that's coming from social media. And you can set up those segments and then look at just those audiences. And then you can see, okay, what pages are they going to, and how can I target those pages to better serve them? Finally, there's the ability to set up goals. And this is very helpful. So you can look at what's the purpose of the site? Are you trying to get people to download PDFs? Are you trying to get them to subscribe to your e-newsletter? Do you want them to make a donation? Whatever it is that you want, you can set up a goal to track that and see if people are going to that URL and see the path they're taking to that URL. This is helpful because not only do you have the number of people that are signing up for your e-newsletter, you can also see, okay, I have 3 pages in my email sign-up process and people are dropping off on the 2nd page. So then you can go look and see, is the call to action clear? Do they know what they're supposed to do? And you can make the edits that will have a great impact on how many people you have sign up that you wouldn't know was a problem if you weren't looking for it. And then I just wanted to talk a little bit about how ANA has been able to use analytics on our immunization site. We created a monthly report, and this was to let us track traffic over time and give us an idea if there was growth in the site and if we were getting the word out. It was also used to track traffic to new features as we rolled them out in order to see how successful they were. So these are some of the new features that were added. Through Google Analytics, we were able to track how many people took our pledge, how many people were coming to the site through our social media efforts, how many came to read the e-newsletter. So, for instance, the pledge wasn't getting as many signatures as we were hoping. But because we were using Google Analytics, we were able to see that problem early. And then we were able to brainstorm and get the word out to get more participation. And when we realized that all the new content that was coming from our e-newsletter was adding lots of valuable information that Google was picking up and adding keywords, we knew that that was a piece of the project that was definitely worth continuing. It's also helped us with our online advertising. We do the Google pay-per-click ads. And we started out by picking keywords we thought people would be searching on, so immunization and nurses. But then we found that not many people were searching for that. And we were able to look at the data from our Google Analytics to see the organic search results, to see that they were more likely to ask specific questions, like what is the role of public health in immunization? And then we were able to target and branch out a little more in our advertising campaign to reach some of those more popular questions. Finally, one of the major benefits to Google Analytics data is that you can use it to help rank higher in search engines. Most searchers, in fact 90%, will not go past the first page of results. So having visibility on that first page in the important search terms to you offers great visibility to the project. And by looking at the data, we realized we weren't ranking well on searches related to nurse settings, even though we had specifically created toolkits for this audience. However, when we looked at the setting pages, we realized that that URL didn't say nurses. It had anaimmunize.org/school or hospital. And Google places an emphasis on these keywords in the URL, as well as the keywords in the title and in the content. So we added the term nursing to the URL, and we saw a great improvement. We moved up 20 rankings on a search for school nurse role in immunization, and that brought in a lot more traffic. We were also able to tweak our resource titles to target more popular search terms. So instead of saying that we had an immunization webcast available, we emphasized that it was a free immunization CE. And now we're on the first page of results on a search for that term. And that's the term that we found more people were looking for. The nurses were looking for free CEs, and immunization was a topic of interest. And the other thing we realized was that on our main ANA page, we have so much content that a lot of it's buried. And so far down in the architecture that search engines actually can't see more than 3 clicks past the home page most of the time. So that on this new site, it has a lot more options from the home page that allows search engines to index and also people to find what they're looking for much more quickly. So that's my presentation. There are also some resources there. The Getting Started guide that Google has is very useful. It gives you step-by-step how to set up the analytics code, and there are also some great resources available on once you have the analytics code, what you're looking at in the reports, and what you might want to segment out to get more information about your user traffic. So thank you.
Thank you to all our panelists, and you all are worried about time, but we've got time for questions at the end. So we have a few minutes for questions, so if you have one, please step up to the microphone and ask away. They are here for the next few minutes, and you can ask your questions, please. Well, I guess there's no mad rush. Oh, we have someone. Here comes someone.
Well, I'm from a local health department, and as you can imagine, I'm the nurse in the program, and I have to rely on everybody else, including a secretary who's the web person. So I guess one thing would be, for me, looking at this information, and I am interested in social media and so forth, would I be able to get what I need to know to how to go about having these conversations with these ancillary staff? And how would you suggest that I do that best? I mean, we have a communications team. I thought, well, maybe I'll take some of your presentations and have them look at it for everyone and hope that then I can then have a better dialogue with them. I don't know.
I'm not sure if it's
I would definitely share some of the resources available because those do have good step-by-step why is this important and what you need to do to get it set up. They're just, especially Google Analytics, there are lots of articles and just good rundowns about the information that they can then take and use.
I might also recommend that I hope you've heard it in other presentations that there are there's so much research now available online that shows how many people are online. I think Pew says 90% of internet users are searching for healthcare results. I'd also recommend going to a site called iHealthBeat, and they throw out really great statistics because they are focused on the health industry and show that 90% of Facebook users have at least searched on some health term. Numbers talk. And I know it's hard, but again, sometimes maybe the people you're talking to will only be convinced by numbers. And it's not going to be dollar numbers, but it's going to be people. And hopefully that'll make a change. Good luck.
I have a question about Google Analytics. We've been using both MediaSite and Google Analytics to try and analyze the use of our website. My frustration with Google Analytics is that right now the information is only coming to the one person whose Google account that it's under, whereas with MediaSite, anybody on the team could pop in and see what the traffic looked like. Do you have a solution or a suggestion?
Sure. You can actually go in the settings page, and you can set up however many users you want. They each have to be set up with Google individually, whether that's through their regular email address or through a Google account. But it is possible to add them. Then you can add them either as an administrator so they can make changes to the account or just a user so they can go in and see what they want. And either a user or an administrator can set up the reports, the custom reports sent just to them, so that they can, you know, get the information there or have the information sent to them.
And that's even if it's been set up initially under one person's account, we can go into settings and add other administrators.
Yes, the person who set up the account will need to assign the other administrators.
Got it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I also have another suggestion. At CDC, technically, we're not supposed to be able to get to our Google accounts. Unless you know the back door. And so one thing that you can do is you can, if you're using like Outlook, whatever your work email is, you can set a rule on your work email that when it gets an email from that Google account, that it can auto-forward it to the people that you want to receive it. So as soon as your email account or whoever's getting it receives that email, it's going to immediately go out to everybody else as well. Because if you can't access your Google account at work, it can be difficult. Sure. If you're receiving an email, and this is for anything, from one address in your regular email, you can set it up to auto forward. And like for instance, in Microsoft Outlook, you just go to rules and you set up the rule. And they actually have a little wizard that walks you through how to do it.
Hi. This question is for Jill. When you were showing before that you helped the health department alter some of your artwork, is that something that you do for free? Rather, because I'm with a nonprofit and sometimes it's expensive to use a PR company or creative company to make the changes. So,
right. So those are all things that we created in-house. All of those, well, actually some of them were created in-house, but we have the InDesign files for them. So our graphic designer that we work with primarily at CDC did all of those. And it's, you know, federal, we can't charge anybody. So it was all free. And, you know, and that was a very specific instance where somebody knew, they knew about our stuff, and I have no idea what gave her the idea. I mean, we had never thought about it before, but she got this great idea. I want to take one of your posters and turn it into a paid advertisement. So we just had our graphic artist do that. And it's, you know, it's just, Amelia has a great term for this, but it's basically just like the only cost is our time.
Right. And then the CDC logo has to be on it with your organization's logo, and then that needs to go through the approval process of CDC. Is that correct?
The way that we got the Oregon We co-branded specifically, and so
there's rules we have to follow.
Yeah, very specific co-branding rules for federal agencies. Yeah, and so like with that one, it was really simple because all we were adding was just their local health department phone number, and so it was very easy to get approval. And there are also, and we this is something our team in particular has talked about exploring, is that there's a project at CDC that created a number of unbranded materials, and then the Society for Adolescent Health and Medicine keeps those files, so if any health department wants to use them, they can actually get them, and they can put any information they want on there. Because they're unbranded. So CDC created them, but they're totally unbranded materials.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Just as a comment to follow up on Jennifer, I take your posters for flu every year and rearrange them and use them for advertising in the Washington Post Express. And the rule that I was given that is was that as long as I don't take anything out of it, that I can use it, I just have to rearrange it. One of the things that makes it a little complicated, though, is the fonts that you use. So if there's any way, whenever you put this information out about what can be used and not used, if you could put what fonts you used in these graphics, it would help us a lot out in the field. The one question I had about the syndicated pieces, I noticed that it said the graphic and the syndicated pieces, do you want it left, right, or centered? Once you pick that, can you go back in and change it?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure you can, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's just, it's actually in the text, in the code, it'll say center. So if you know HTML, you can change it yourself. If you don't know it, then you can call the
center. Oh, okay, center. So you could change
exactly,
it after the fact.
They'll tell you to do a search, and then they'll say put the word right instead of left or whatever it was.
And so okay. And then the other question I had was using syndicated content. Does anybody know if that affects your search engine ranking?
They're doing some research on that. It's a tough question, and I hope you're recognizing, or I think you're inferring that analytics that push that determine a ranking on the search engine will discount anything that's repetitive. That that the analytics will see the content repeated. However.
That's why it's important to put your content with our content on the same page.
Okay.
To avoid that. But on pages where you're, it's just CDC content, we're still doing enough. We're still doing research to find out if it's going to ding you or not.
Okay.
And right now they believe that the credibility function of the analytics is going to push it up over what might discount it because it's repetitive content.
Right. Because you're a local or state, then because you're a credibility, they know your content's syndicating, and then that's it's an okay thing. Whereas, I can't think of an example, but if somebody was not reputable and had CDC's content on it, let's say anti-vaccine groups, then they might, you know, they'll go lower down. They will get dinged. Does that make more sense?
And also, Google recently did a change in their algorithm that favors social media, and I believe RSS was a piece of that. They do realize that RSS is being used a lot, and therefore, as long as you have your own content along with it, it won't be a detrimental effect.
Okay. And the last thing I have is a request. I've been asking for about 2 years now for an RSS feed just on immunization. You have specialty.
I have your email. We just hired someone, and that's top on her list.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you all. If there are no more questions, I'd like to give our panel another round of applause. Thank you all.